Hello, I'm Jim Packard, sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you with us today as we talk about pet care, care for the non-dog, non-cat variety of pets, such as birds, fish, hamsters, lizards, and other exotic species. And our guest is Mike Hoffer. He's the owner and creator of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee, Wisconsin's most unique animal center. It's located at 7323 North 76th Street in Milwaukee, and it's a pleasure to welcome Mike back to the phone. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Jim. Pleasure to be back.
Yes, indeed. This is your third or fourth appearance now, and you're getting to be a regular with us.
That's great.
As we invite people to call in about their exotic pets at 263-1890 in Madison or at 800-642-1234, our toll-free number, let's talk a little bit about what people find in your store because, as I understand, it's become a spot for people to have birthday parties and also for school children to come and visit.
Yes, almost every day we do a tour with a school of every weekend we do four birthday parties, and it was an afterthought that has just snowballed. It's been very popular. My daughter, who's a school teacher, actually does the birthday party, so she gets along real good with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then she does certain outreach programs to other schools whenever they have high interest days and such.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk in the store, it's very unlike any other pet shop anybody has ever been in. And we have koi ponds, we have kittens, we have birds, small animals, a huge reptile section, and a huge fish room, probably larger than most pet shops. We have alligator pits and turtle pits and some huge tortoises in the back room walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we're inviting a group from Texas, and they're going to be here with a white tiger, a Bengal tiger, and a black leopard for 5 days, and hopefully that'll entice a lot of people to come in just to see them.
Mm-hmm. It's very unusual to have these tigers available to meet the public.
Yeah, we haven't done this in about 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's well received.
So that's January 17th through the 21st?
Correct.
All right. Our guest is Mike Hoffer. You can see more about him. You can take a tour of the property when you go to hoffers tropiclife.com. And we'll be happy to try to answer questions about your exotic pets as we go along today. Mike will be here until noon, and then after noon we'll meet a man from Sydney, Australia, Herbie Himphill, the author of the Spice and Herb Bible, second edition, published by Robert Rose. But right now we'll invite your calls, and if people do have an interest in the school tour or in the birthdays, what should they do next?
Just call us. The birthday parties are actually booked out about 3 months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
The tours three, 4 weeks. Just give us a call, and anybody can help you here.
And what's the number?
It's 414-353-6553.
We have one line open if you have a question about your pet, but right now let's go to the phones and to Carol in Kenosha. Hello, Carol.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm looking for a recommendation on birds.
All right.
Okay, I have a six-year-old little boy. He loves birds. We're looking for something not too expensive, something that doesn't require a lot of care, and I am also concerned about house temperature. Do birds need to have a certain level of warmth in order to survive well?
I would say at least above 70. Avoid any kind of a draft. And a parakeet kind of fits that bill. Now, as with all birds, they all require daily attention.
Okay.
In that the food and water should be cleaned and exchanged every day.
Okay.
But a parakeet fits the bill there.
All right. Okay.
And always with any child, especially that age, supervised handling.
Okay.
But they get along real good with kids.
All right, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What kind of price range are we talking about to acquire a parakeet?
$20 to $25 range on the parakeet.
Mm-hmm.
We offer service where we'll hand tame them so that if they are going to a smaller child or anybody that wishes to not get bitten, which isn't a bad bite, but, you know, they nip, we train them. It takes about a day. And with the cage and everything, you're looking at another maybe $50.
Okay. Kathy and Nina is next. Hello, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi.
I am calling about a 20-year-old cockatiel that we own. We purchased in 1986. And we've noticed over the last couple of years that this bird speaks far less than he used to. He used to whistle Yankee Doodle Dandy and say several different phrases. And he's certainly quieted down. I don't know if that's just age. He looks the same as far as appearance goes. He looks as the same as he did 10 years ago or more.
Okay.
But
it could be age. It could be, are you spending any less time with him?
Well, the bird was sold to us in a nutshell as a hand-fed bird, and that was not correct. He will tolerate my husband holding him, and I can only hold him if I rescue him because his wings are, when their wings are clipped, they can only fly down. And when he wants to be rescued from landing on the floor, he can't wait to jump on my finger, but otherwise it's a fight to get him to jump on my finger.
Okay.
My husband, on the other hand, because he was the first one to hold him and handle him, will tolerate it, but it's certainly clear that he's not completely enjoying it.
Okay. That's not indicative of a hand-fed. They trust people just to the max, and when they don't, then it kind of indicates to me that it wasn't a hand-fed. I can see a bird liking a man over a woman or vice versa. That's very, very common. But on a hand-fed, they should like everybody.
Mm-hmm.
What's the lifespan of a cockatiel, Mike?
I think we're looking at around 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told originally anywhere quite a wide span of 15 to 25 years. And it depends on their diet to a degree. And he's fed many other foods beside just the bird seed, which
good.
I was told was the best thing to do for them.
Yes.
We did have a companion for him in another cage, and that was a parrot, but he was quite mean and created a huge mess, but the bite from that parrot was pretty nasty.
Yeah.
We did call the Milwaukee Bird Society at one point. I don't know if they're still around, but they were wonderful in that they came within 24 hours and picked the bird up.
Oh, that's good.
We felt pretty comfortable in their taking him. I don't know if they're still in existence, but for anyone who is in need, they did a wonderful job. The zoo we tried first said, no, we have plenty of these types of parrots.
Yeah.
I wondered if there's any nutritional needs that this older cockatiel might be in need of.
Maybe some of the biscuit-type foods, extruded, pelleted-type foods might be better for them. It's a more balanced diet. It doesn't allow them to pick through and eat just their favorite seeds, which it's like giving some candy or some vegetables to a child. Which one are they going to pick out? And same thing goes for a lot of animals. There are certain things that they prefer, but it won't give them a balanced diet. That's where the extruded type pelleted foods come in into play, where it's all mixed into one. They have to eat everything. I would still offer them some seeds, but you might try that.
Do you think that after 20 years of picking out his favorite foods, he might refuse the other food, or do you think
yes.
that would only be a temporary situation?
If properly adjusted and transitioned to the pelleted foods, you know, just lowering the amounts of the seed each day and increasing the amount of the pellets, they're going to eventually go over to the pellets, even an older bird.
Okay. Is there a brand you might mention, or are there several brands who make the pelleted?
KT, L&M, two brands that come to mind.
Okay.
It depends on your local store.
Okay.
And they should be carrying it.
Okay. And then I've been told that sometimes the beaks start overgrowing as they age.
That can be trimmed down, too.
Oh, it can.
Yeah, okay. Normally by a vet.
Yeah, I would think so. We can handle the claws and the wings.
Right, but the beak,
carefully, but
the beak, they may have to be anesthetized in order to do that.
Kathy, thank you very much, and good luck with your bird there. Our guest is Mike Hoffer, owner and creator of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee, Wisconsin's most unique animal center. We have two lines open for you. If you have a question, the number in Madison, 263-1890. Otherwise, we're toll-free at 800-642-1234. And let's go to Caroline in Madison next. Hi, Caroline.
Hello.
Hello.
I have another cockatiel question. I'm calling for my daughter who lives out of state, and she has a cockatiel probably around 8 or 9 years old, and she's all of a sudden, well, in November, I believe, or early December, started laying eggs, and she's given her calcium supplement. She's offered her bedding and those little hutches or whatever that they can lay them in, but she's not interested in that. She lays them on the bottom of her cage. And she'll sit on them, and if my daughter takes them away, you know, she'll lay more eggs. And it's getting to be an ongoing thing. And I was wondering, is there any reason for this, or how long does this go on? And
It's a cyclical thing. No males have to be present for egg production. It's just like on chickens.
Right.
It's just something that their body has to go through. Produce some eggs, lay them, and that's that.
Was there a number of months? I mean, this has been going on now for at least 2 months.
Yeah. There is a season for that. Normally they're going to lay, I would say, 6 to 10 eggs. I don't know how many she's laid so far.
I think
far.
She's laid about that many already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's a good idea to get them a calcium supplement,
right,
such as a cuttle bone in there, or mixing some calcium powders in with the food. For that egg production. Otherwise, that is going to extract, the body will extract it out of the blood and vessel.
And she is doing that.
Good.
But
that's all you have to do. And it is quite normal for them not to go into a nest box or nesting site anywhere on the bottom, or oftentimes in their food dish they might lay them and take them out.
So she should take each egg out as she lays it?
Yeah.
Okay, even though she keeps laying eggs, just keep taking them out?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Caroline, good luck to you. Thanks very much. Appreciate hearing from you. And Josh has a comment in Brookfield. Josh, go ahead.
I work at a vet clinic in Brookfield, and I just heard you say to the last caller that they anesthetize the birds to trim their beaks. And we actually don't do that. We just towel them, and I hold them while the doctor takes a Dremel to their beak and just shortens it that way.
Okay. Are you using like a Dremel tool?
Yeah, it's a Dremel tool. It's kind of a pointed, almost kind of power sander almost.
Okay. We do that on tortoises here.
Yeah.
But from what I heard, the birds needed that. But, that's good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Josh. We appreciate that. Obviously, the birds don't become so distressed then if that's the situation.
Sure.
And we'll take more calls and visit with Mike Hoffer, owner and creator of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee, Wisconsin's most unique animal center, as we continue here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jim Packard in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network, and glad to have you along with us today as we talk about care for exotic species of pets. Your non-dog, non-cat variety of pets, such as birds, fish, hamsters, lizards, and other exotic species. Although, Mike, I do notice that looking at your website, and you have services there that include care for dogs, like shampoos and cleaning up for them.
Yes, we do. We have a resident groomer here who comes in 4 days a week, and then we also have a do-it-yourself. And in the event that she's not here that day, customers can come in with their own shampoo and do their own bath at, you know, a nice waist height.
Well, I know that you don't sell dogs in the store. Do you provide foods and other materials for them?
It's a pretty big section of our store are for dogs.
Okay.
We handle five or six different brands of dog food, all the leashes and toys, and then we even have a dog trainer that works here 40 hours a week and conducts dog training lessons and that on his off time on the weekends.
So you've got pretty much everything going for you there.
Try.
Okay. Charlie's in Brookfield. He's next. Charlie, what can we do for you?
Well, I think I can offer some comments and testimonial. We're new to Metro Milwaukee, and somebody put us on the idea of a birthday party at the store, and it was simply fabulous. Your daughter was marvelous. She obviously knows the animals, and she knows kids. There's not much difference sometimes.
Oh, thanks, Charlie.
And I have to tell you, I have this visual image of this large turtle that she brought out at the end, kind of by request.
Yes, and, that was Max.
Yeah, and Max trolling the floor and finding a piece of birthday cake, and Max with the pink icing around his mouth was a sight to see. I've got three kids. We've done a lot of these birthday parties. There's been none better.
Well, that's great.
Thank you very much.
Charlie, thank you very much for the call. And if you'd like to chime in, the number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. And our next caller is Luba in Madison. Luba, what can we do for you?
Good morning. I have a cat, and I would like a canary. I have an empty cage, and I do have a stand that's about 5 feet tall. If I would having a cat create stress for a canary?
We had at home several birds, and we have several cats. We hang the cage from the ceiling. I'm very uneasy about the cat, you know, trying to jump up and possibly knocking that cage and stand down.
Mm-hmm.
If the stand is real secure, I see no problem with it. But I would say there'd be nothing worse than coming home and finding an empty cage and feathers everywhere.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
All right, Luba. Good luck to you. We certainly don't want the cat that ate the canary, do we? Let's go to Kristen next in Waukesha. And Kristen, what's on your mind today?
Hi. My children received a couple of hermit crabs for Christmas. We were not intending on getting these, but they were a gift. And I have a couple of questions. We got just a real generic instruction sheet with them, but I wanted to make sure that we're caring for them correctly. I read one thing that said they should have bottled water, and then somebody else told me no, no, no. I'm not sure if the cage that they came in will be large enough. So some general care instructions. And then also a couple mornings ago we came down, and one of the crabs had lost its smaller claw, and we're not sure. It happened during the night, so I don't know if this is a molting thing or if the crabs got in a fight and one of them broke it off or what happened, but my son was pretty upset to see that.
It could be either,
okay.
But to put him at ease, the next time that the crab sheds, it will develop a new, brand new claw.
Okay.
It's just like spiders losing a leg.
Okay.
They, on their next shed, they do generate a new appendage.
Okay.
As far as the size of the cage, how big is it?
Well, it's my sister-in-law got these at the mall, so I don't know if you've seen those, you know,
the small plastic
cage. Yeah,
the
little plastic thing. Yeah, and it's got a water bowl in it and two little shells for the food with a little palm tree connected to it, and then there's two crabs in there.
Okay.
So,
the crabs are what size?
I don't know. Their large claws are...
Size of a walnut, or is it the size of an almond?
Probably size of a walnut.
Okay. I would say that from what I've seen at the mall, they're very incomplete habitats.
Okay.
So what you want to do, the one thing that's definitely never in those is a form of heat.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to keep those little crabs warm because they're tropical.
Okay.
We keep ours on sand. We have under the sand heaters, and we keep that moist. We have a bowl in there with a sponge. sponge to generate humidity,
uh-huh.
and branches and plants to, for the crabs to hide under or climb on.
Yeah, I noticed one of them really seems to like to hide when we take him out. He's always looking for the one place he can crawl under.
They are generally nocturnal.
Yes, yeah, so we've noticed that too.
And I hope they mentioned on that little care sheet that you should have an extra shell.
They
for each
did.
One that's slightly larger than the one they're in.
And I got those. Am I supposed to leave those in? I guess that was the thing, because
yes.
the cage is so small that if I put those extra shells in there, then there's really no room for them
right.
to move around.
Well, then I would say you definitely need a larger cage.
Okay.
Because you should leave those in there.
Okay. And, like, how warm should the cages be? I guess I'm wondering, because, like, we have...
In the
80s, because we have an old home, so we have radiators.
Okay.
Is putting one on top of a radiator too much heat?
As long as it's shielded, so it doesn't get too hot.
Okay.
But now when the radiator goes off, the heat will be lost.
Right. So they need a constant heat?
Constant heat.
Okay. All right. And do you recommend sand as opposed to, like, the fish gravel? Because that's what came in the cage.
Either one is fine.
Okay. And the instruction sheet mentioned that they don't eat very often. Is that
This is true?
Very true.
Very they true. Don't eat a lot.
Okay. And they mentioned also providing them with some extra goodies like eggshells or...
As for the calcium.
Lettuce?
Lettuce is non-nutritional, but any type of an ethnic green, broccoli, cauliflower would be okay, a carrot, little peas, because they're not going to eat a lot.
Okay. Okay, and then, again, how long are these going to live?
10, 15 years or longer.
All right, that was what she told me, and I was not happy with it. They don't take a lot of care, but it's still, my children are fairly young, so it's still something that I'm having to do right now. So.
But, you know, on a scale of how hard they are to care for, they're right up there as being one of the easiest things to take care
sure.
of. Very undemanding.
Do they need their water changed every day?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Every couple days?
Every couple of days.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your
All right, Kristen. Good luck to you. Thanks very much for your call. The number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. Steve Williams is our on-air phone producer today, and you will talk with him. Let's go to PK next in Springfield. Hello, PK.
Hi, good morning. This is a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Before I ask my question about my duck, I do have to save that last caller from heartbreak. If she puts those hermit crabs on her radiator, she'll cook them. Because my friends keep their tea kettles on top of their radiators to keep that water hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
that's all I can think of, too. And if it's not shielded, and it's not a good idea anyway because it's intermittent heat.
Probably a hot rock, like you sulfur snakes.
Well, actually, one that goes underneath, that's a lot better. Most people avoid hot rocks nowadays, and that would, if you put a hot rock inside and you're trying to keep that area humid, it may penetrate in there and burn out the coil.
Okay, so she should probably get a bottom heater then?
Yeah.
All right, so thank you. So now I have a duck, and I cannot find a vet anywhere who knows how to help me with my duck. So I'm hoping you know a little bit, something about it, because... She has what appears to be, I don't think it's a prolapse. It is a slackening of the muscles in between her legs. So she looks like she's carrying around a little water balloon under her feathers. And it's not discolored, and it's not sore, and she has all her feathers on it. It does interfere with her laying eggs because she lays pigeon-sized eggs instead of duck eggs.
Oh.
And it can't be comfortable,
no.
And I'm hoping if you can help me, then maybe someone who is listening can help me, because I really would like to help her. She is a pet, and we're very fond of her.
You mean there are no vets that are farm vets that
well,
could handle that? Not a local city vet.
Right.
You know,
well, I'm
that
in
sees
a,
dogs,
I'm in
or nobody that sees dogs, but the vets that see the cows and horses and
PK, are you in Springfield, Dane County, Wisconsin, or are you?
No, I'm in Springfield, Walworth County, and we have lots of country vets, and their remedy for my duck is to cook her.
Oh.
Because they they don't treat. If a duck in a farm gets something happens to it, they just cook it. They don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my problem.
They refer you to a bird vet,
no,
an exotic animal vet.
The only bird vet that I have talked to is in Illinois, and they specialize in parrots and macaws and that kind of exotics, and not in fowl, not in waterfowl.
Okay.
I'm having a dickens of a time.
You have me at a loss for words here.
I'm sorry.
How about anybody in the state, the Wisconsin Extension in Madison, the vet school?
Okay, I haven't tried that. I've tried our own county extensions and 4-H's and everything and chased down everyone that they've referred me to, and I have not had any luck.
Sure.
Well, if you inquire through the vet school, I think that they probably will have a recommendation on an avian vet.
I would think so. That would do geese and specialize in waterfowl.
Right.
I can see that being...
Well, PK, good luck. Hopefully, perhaps somebody will be able to call in before we finish up today at noon and have a source for you, a recommendation, and we'll see. Let's try Mary Claire next in Madison. Mary Claire, what can we do for you today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. We have a couple of betta fish, a male and a female, and the male has made a little bubble nest in the corner of his bowl, the side of his bowl, and... The female looks fat, so we put them in there together.
All right.
As per the suggestion that we found online. And he just chased her around the bowl and bit her.
Yes, that's what they do.
Well, she seemed to really hate it, and we could hardly bear it. So after about 5 minutes of that, we took her out. And we cleaned his bowl, and now he's back with his bubble nest and, you know, making eyes at her again. And we're wondering, should we let him have at it again, or is this...
Are you keeping them in separate bowls at present?
Yes.
Normally, what you're going to do to introduce the female to the male is put her in a little plastic cup and float her in the tank that the male is in.
I see.
So that he can go around her and check her out and get used to her being in there. And you do that for a day or two. And
so
then you
she would have to be in a cup that is as
clear.
Deep as the bowl so that she can't get out and he can't get in.
Correct.
Okay, I see. Like maybe a tall drinking glass or something like that.
Tall drinking glass would be fine. Sometimes a small 4 or 5 ounce plastic cup will float upright.
Oh, I see what you mean. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that's generally how I've always introduced the females to the male. And they have to be fat with eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Male has to have that bubble nest, and they are going to chase around and hopefully have some type of hiding for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Plants work the best, some floating plants. You need that for anchoring the bubble nest and for the female to take refuge in if the male gets too violent. Now, you don't have to worry too much about a male attacking a female and killing her because they don't do that.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, but they might beat him up.
I had read that she could become very emotionally stressed out by his attacks and that she could even die of stress.
Yeah, and I've been breeding betta since I was in high school. So I've seen it, you know, and the first time it's unnerving.
It is a little traumatic. Yeah.
It is.
So after they've been together in the same tank for maybe a day or two,
Right. We
could let her out,
yeah.
and what happens after that is going to be a little bit violent, I guess. And then do we not change the water until these are hatchlings?
Correct.
Wow.
You don't touch it, and you take her out as soon as they're done.
Okay.
And it's quite an amazing thing to see.
Okay.
With the male wrapping his body around the female, squeezing out some eggs,
mm-hmm.
spitting each egg up into the bubbles. And as soon as they're done, she's going to go somewhere and rest. He's going to start guarding the nest, and then you know they're done.
Okay.
Her out.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll give that a try then. That's great advice. Thank you so much.
You're
all right, Mary Claire, thank you. Good luck to you. Our number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, it's 800-642-1234 as we talk with Mike Hoffer, the owner and creator of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee, Wisconsin's most unique animal center. You can see more about the store at hoffers tropiclife.com. And Mike, we had talked about the events next week with the baby tigers coming in. Talk a little bit more about that.
People will be able to stop in and have their pictures taken with them, and this funds the group from Texas that maintain the tigers.
Mm-hmm.
And they go all over the country, and we found them in Waukesha at the county fair last year and contacted them, and it's a most professional group of people, well taken care of animals, and they're in Michigan right now this coming weekend, and they're going to stop by next week and allow people to pose with the tigers, and they're smaller cubs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blast. We did this a couple years ago.
That sounds like fun. And Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets, located on 76th Street in Milwaukee, open 7 days a week.
Yes.
Starting each day at 10 o'clock, weekdays till 8, Saturday till 7, and Sunday until 4.
Correct.
Let's go to the phones again and to Kendra in Poplar Grove.
Hello.
Hi.
I just had a suggestion for the lady with the sick duck.
Yes.
She may have already tried this, but last summer we were at your Madison Zoo,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure I saw ducks there. And I'm thinking, well, they have to have someone to take care of all their animals, even if they're farm-type animals. Also, they had ducks at the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago. And also at the Mississippi River Museum in Dubuque, Iowa.
Right.
And I'm thinking maybe if she went the route of zoos.
Very good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It might be an option.
All okay. right. Great, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kendra. And on to Sarah in Richmond, Illinois. And Sarah, what's in your mind today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I love collared lizards. I absolutely love them. They're my favorite lizard. And I'm having the darndest time finding them. I don't know enough to know who the breeders are to even look up to see if they even sell. But I just can't find any. I was wondering if your guest could give me a recommendation on where to look.
Contact bluestar.com. It's bluestar at, I'm going to give you the exact.
And Blue Star is all one word?
Yes.
Okay.
BLUEBSTAR@AOL.com.
Okay. BlueStar@AOL.com?
Yeah, it happens to be on my mouse pad.
Well, that's good.
And he raises collared lizards, and these are captive bred.
All right, Sarah.
That's great. Thank
you so much.
Hopefully
he's still there.
All right. Thanks a lot, and good luck, and hope that you're able to find that. And then on to Mitch in Madison next. Mitch, what can we do for you?
Hi. I do believe I may have a solution for the woman with the duck.
Yes.
I'm from Green Bay originally, and there's a rather large wildlife sanctuary which specializes in geese, a lot of waterfowl. You can't go around and feed them, and kind of just a way to hang out with the ducks, I guess. Kids
mm-hmm.
love it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, since the specialty is the geese population that is up there, that might be an excellent resource for her to utilize.
And you're recommending the Molitor Pet and Bird Clinic in Burlington?
No,
you're recommending the Animal Medical Center in Appleton.
No, I do believe it's the it's called the Wildlife Sanctuary. It's located in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And it's right next to, there's a local amusement park called Bay Beach, and it might be considered all one by the Park and Rec Department up there. But it would be, I do believe, an excellent resource for her.
Okay. Thanks very much. We appreciate that.
You bet.
And other suggestions from callers were the Molitor Pet and Bird Clinic in Burlington, which would be somewhat in the area that she was in, and also the Animal Medical Center in Appleton. And The phone numbers for each of those, the Model Herb Tetton Bird Clinic is 262-762-8113, and the Animal Medical Center in Appleton is 902-479-1717. So thank you very much for that call. We do have lines open for your question about exotic pets, whether it's birds, fish, hamsters, lizards, gerbils, spiny mice, pet rats, hamsters, rabbits. There are so many you can hardly get through them all. Sugar gliders is too. Talk about sugar gliders and what you have there.
Oh, ours?
Yes.
We raise them here. We have, I believe, 6 pairs right now. Unfortunately, they don't breed like rabbits. they're a pouched animal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a marsupial, and they somewhat resemble a flying squirrel. They're about the softest animal I've ever had touched. And they have a pouch where they can have 1 or 2 babies, and the babies will stay in that pouch for 2.5 to 3 months, roughly. And as soon as they start coming out of the pouch, the people in our small animal department start handling the babies, and they're just super tame.
Mm-hmm. And about how old are they when they're ready for sale?
3 to 4 months old.
Mm-hmm. Then are you raising many of the pets that you're selling there?
Just a few.
Mm-hmm.
Some chinchillas, some guinea pigs, the rats and mice, of course, the sugar gliders, and we do raise some of the fish, the bettas. I'm still raising bettas. We got into raising piranhas, things like that. And then whatever happens to breed a lot of our snakes and turtles, if they start laying eggs, we'll hatch them out and produce those too.
If you have a question about an exotic pet or a comment, then give us a call in Madison at 263-1890. Elsewhere, it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. Hedgehogs, I don't know what they look like. I can only imagine. But when you sell them, what are people taking with them?
It looks like a miniature porcupine almost, although it's not a porcupine. It's a rodent.
Uh-huh.
And they're normally out of northern Africa, Europe, England. They're found all over that area. And I used to raise hedgehogs also about 10 years ago. And we had one in my daughter's class, in her kindergarten class. They're real spiny, but they're not barbed spines like a porcupine.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't want to be touched, they bring them forward, and it's like a little pincushion. But they're quite an interesting animal.
And they have their own little personalities as well, I suppose.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones, and we've got Laura coming up in just a moment. Again, if you have an email, you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. As we talk with Mike Hoffer of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee, and we're going to Laura next. Hello, Laura. Go ahead. Laura, are you there? No, apparently not.
Laura left.
Did you sell Vietnamese potbelly pigs at any time when that craze was going on?
No. And from what I heard, most of them weren't truly Vietnamese potbelly pigs. They got quite large. What a lot of people were doing was crossing them with a normal pig, and these guys were getting quite large. They were everything but pygmies. Our city regulations prohibit us from even keeping an animal considered a farm animal.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't have goats, ducks, chickens, pigs, anything like that in the city.
You also don't deal in dogs.
That's my choice.
Yes. And I imagine that there's probably somebody not that far away who probably does deal in dogs then.
Quite a few people. I encourage the customers to go either to their local animal shelter or humane society, or to a private residence where people are raising a particular breed of dog.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's hard to find a very particular type of dog, but it's a much healthier animal when you get it from a private person.
Right.
And you get to see both the parents normally. The rescue from a animal shelter or the Humane Society is very rewarding. However, you're normally getting an older dog.
Right.
But I think that's the avenue people should take rather than go to a pet shop.
Okay.
And, you know, have no idea of the source of that dog.
Right. Laura in Cedarburg is next. Hi, Laura.
Hello, good morning. I was listening to the story about the lady with the duck problem.
Yes.
And in the area of Lake Geneva, there's the organization Fellow Mortals, who they do wildlife rehabilitation, and they may be able to offer suggestions. I don't have a phone number for them.
But she can just look that up, Fellow Mortals,
right.
Fellow Mortals. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. And we'll go on next to Linda in Lake Geneva. And Linda, what's on your mind today?
Hi. Yes, I have an aquarium, and about 4 years ago I bought a Plecostomus, an algae eater,
mm-hmm.
when it was very little.
Yes.
And it's now between 4 and 5 inches long, and it's the only Plecostomus I have in the aquarium with goldfish and a little catfish.
Okay.
But this summer we have a little baby Plecostomus that we discovered in the aquarium. And we're wondering how this is possible.
Do you have live plants?
No.
And
we've never had live plants in there.
Okay, could have came in on as an egg. Plecostomus need a male and a female to procreate. The eggs are fertilized externally. I could not explain that. It had to come in as an egg on something.
We feed tetramin fish food.
Well, that's cooked, so there's no way of a Plecostomus egg getting into tetramin flake food or any flake food for that matter.
This is puzzling because when we've asked at our pet store and when we've gone online, we've been told that Plecostomus are very difficult to breed anyway, but we are puzzled how this could be.
Yes. It came in from another source, possibly in a bag with the water and the fish that you might have purchased.
Even though there were no recent purchases?
Well, that I can't.
It's one of those mysteries we can't solve.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right, Linda. Maybe someone else has a suggestion they can offer, but there are a few facts that are indisputable.
This will go unsolved.
Right. Sorry, Linda, and you're listening to Mike Hoffer, the owner and creator of Hoffer's Tropic Life Pets in Milwaukee, our guest today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll take more of your calls in just a moment. Jim Packard with you today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, along with Mike Hoffer, as we talk about exotic species of pets. After the news at noon today, a man from Sydney, Australia, Herbie Hempfel, the author of the Spice and Herb Bible, second edition, published by Robert Rose, will be along, and we'll talk about the use of spices and herbs in contemporary life. But right now, we continue to take your calls with Mike Hoffer, and Tammy in Eau Claire is next. Tammy, what can we do for you today?
Hi there. I have a question about a sugar glider. I have wanted one for some time, but are they seasonal? I mean, do you guys have animals available year-round, or is there a particular...
Yes. No, they're available year-round. Right now, there's a waiting list, I believe, of about 10 people.
Okay.
They just don't breed fast enough.
Okay, and I have a small, very non-aggressive dog, and he does very well with other pets. But these guys, if they were introduced slowly, end up being friends?
I couldn't answer that, not knowing your dog.
Okay, but I mean, typically, assuming my dog doesn't want to eat it, which I don't think it would, I mean, sugar gliders are okay with other pets or animals?
Oh, they love people.
Okay.
That's as far as I could go with that question,
okay.
Because I've never tried introducing a sugar glider. Perhaps there's a listener that does have a pet sugar glider and a dog.
Okay.
and they might give you a little more insight.
Okay.
But I have never done that.
Okay.
All right, Tammy, thank you very much for the call. An emailer asked, my guinea pigs have tender teeth. Is it possible I've let them grow too long? If so, is there a remedy?
Yes, there is. It's called a nail clipper, and just the sheer doing it just makes me shudder. It puts a shiver up my spine having to do it, but we do it on rats, and we do it on any rodent where the teeth keep growing, rabbits and such, and they just, you can clip them right off.
Okay. And also a listener question, are rats likely to develop tumors?
Yes, they are. With age, usually. They generally, their lifespan's about 2.5 to 4 years, and as the rats get older, they do develop tumors.
Joe in Wausau, let's give you a chance. Go ahead.
Hi, I need a method for a canary to make it stop laying eggs.
Mike?
You can't.
You can't?
No.
Not even shortening the daylight hours? Throw a hood over the cage or something like that?
Well, it's like the lady's cockatiel laying eggs. It's a cyclical thing. It's something they go through. It's biological.
Okay. So there's, you just have to let them do it?
Let them do it and then make sure that they have enough calcium in their diet for producing those eggs.
When they're ready to quit, they will, huh?
They will.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Joe. Thank you very much. And
there I might add, that's a seasonal thing, too, for canaries laying eggs. So.
Okay. And how long about would the season be?
A couple months.
Okay. Yeah. Beverly in Waukegan, Illinois. Hello.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I have a nephew who would love to have a dog or a cat, but he has a lot of trouble with allergies and is allergic to both of those. So I was wondering if you could recommend some other type of pet, especially another furred animal, that would be less likely to cause allergic reactions.
You can experiment and try. Now, people that are allergic to guinea pigs might not be allergic to a cat. Rabbits might not be allergic to dogs and vice versa.
Uh-huh.
And try that. You can try a rat, a mouse, gerbil, hamster, a little furry. I take it you're against reptiles?
No, I'm not against them, but there is a family member who would have a lot of trouble with that.
The mother, probably.
Grandmother.
Grandmother, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do make excellent pets.
Mm-hmm.
But try introducing and like a rat or any other small rodent animal.
So would he be able to bring one home on a trial basis or something
well,
like that?
Well, I would say go to the store, have them handle it, sniff them, you know, get them up close to the face to see if there is any reaction.
Okay.
And I hope it wouldn't be a life-threatening reaction.
No, it's not that serious.
Now, have you investigated dogs that do not produce a lot of dander, such as a Bichon or a poodle?
No, I just found out about this myself a couple days ago, so I don't know whether they might have done that.
Because I know about that because my sister-in-law is allergic to a lot of, our cats at home, of course, but her eyes will start watering the minute she walks in the house.
Mm.
But they have a Bichon, which is a non-allergenic dog.
Oh, good.
And that's why their popularity is or anything that's bred with them, or a poodle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there are so many crosses now, which I think are good. And it produces a dog that takes on whatever else it's being bred against, both characteristics. And one is that they're non-allergenic.
Mm-hmm.
So try that.
Yeah. Okay. I'll let them know. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Okay,
Beverly, thank you very much for your call there in Waukegan, Illinois. And, Mike, as we are closing in on the end of the program, let's review a few things again. You are located at 7323 North 76th Street in Milwaukee. Can you sort of place that for people out of town?
That's the major cross street of Good Hope Road and 76th Street. We're on the northwest side of Milwaukee.
And your store is open 7 days a week, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Correct.
And on weekends, we have birthdays going on, and we heard from people who enjoy that very much.
Yeah.
School groups, they're doing tours, and I think I saw on the website that a tour is about an hour or so.
About an hour and a half, usually.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot to see.
Lots to see.
You got your reptile department, your Joe's Fish Room,
the small
animal department with over 80 individual enclosures,
yeah,
and your bird department as well.
Yeah, and it's a hands-on tour, so the kids get to handle a lot of the animals.
And the baby tigers will be coming in for people to see and have their pictures taken with next week, starting on the 17th of January, I believe.
Correct.
So if people want more information, they just go to hoffertropiclife.com, and on that website, you'll see more.
Yes.
Mike, thanks very much. I look forward to talking with you another time in a few weeks.
And as always, Jim, it was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. If you'd like a CD of the program, that's available through the radio store. After the news at noon, we'll have the author of the Spice and Herb Bible coming up. But thanks for listening. I'm Jim Packard. Steve Williams, our on-air producer today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.